today we have Jerry, Jeremy Gary.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Man, this has been one of those mornings, I tell you what, it's been like one thing after the other, just trying to get here and stuff's changing and stuff's not working. And it's funny because I'm a person that I used to substitute teach and I hated it because I'd always walk in and I didn't know what was going on, you know, and I like to try and be as prepared as possible. So forgive me if, something is a bit askew today. I know at least one thing. I wanted to show a video, but I saved it in the wrong format. The tech guy saving something in the wrong format. It's so ridiculous. So with that in mind, let's pray. Just get my heart right. Jesus, we're here because we love you. We're here because we want to worship you. We want to give our best to you this morning. Thank you that when we're not our best, you take us anyway. And that's only by your blood, Jesus. God, you know, and today, we know this week, Charlie Kirk was killed, and there's just so much just upheaval. There's so much, there's so many people that are just angry about things, Lord. God, may you be the center of what we think about, Lord. May you be, God, what we meditate on and where we place our hope and our value. Jesus, we are Christians, first and foremost, Lord. I pray, God, that we are dedicated to the church, and Lord, help us to be a light in a world that can be so dark. God, this morning I pray that we fix our mind upon you, Jesus, and that we are devoted to you wholly, God. We pray for our nation. We pray that our nation turns to you. We pray that this world turns to you, Lord. We know your heart is that all would be saved. God, help us to be a part of your kingdom here on earth, Lord, and to carry out your will in the best way that we know how, Jesus. In your name, amen. All right, so John chapter 3. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. And it's kind of cool because I get to, you know, preach on one of the most famous verses in the Bible. We'll talk about that a little in just a bit. First, I want to review some of the things I had asked if you would meditate on last week. 4 points here. The Bible is not me-centered. It is Christ-centered. The Christian walk is not a scientific endeavor. Right? It's a faith journey. We are new creations in Christ when we accept Jesus as our Lord. God doesn't take something and just duct tape it together. He makes us new. And God is sovereign. And that's so important, so comforting to know that God is in control, you know, in times of tumult. So, John 3:16-17 reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So, remember this, when John 3:16 was up in the football games and people would hold up a sign, you know? And it was funny because, you know me, I'm like the AI guy lately with my little generated things. And I generated one and I was like, no, that I want the real deal, fuzzy, pixelated, was on a TV that someone took a picture of and it looks just horrible, right? And that's what that was. You can see right there, that's a long time ago. And I don't know if you remember, but that's what they do, right? When the guy kicked the field goal or the extra point after a touchdown, and you'd look at the stands, someone's like, John 3:16, you know? And it's pretty cool because, I mean, if you're going to pick a verse in the Bible to blast, put on, you know, just throw out there, that's a good one to pick. You know, but as with so many things, it probably lost a little bit of its luster, right? Because you just saw it all the time. John 3:16, and it just kind of became the meme of the day, right? Even before memes were a thing. But we're going to talk about John 3:16 today a little bit. But before that, I just kind of want to go back to our conversation that we had concerning Jesus and Nicodemus. So I want to go through those scriptures and the best that I know how, try and build up to John 3:16 and when Christ brought it home, right? So there we got Jesus talking to Nicodemus, Nico, as we affectionately called him last week. And let me read through the scripture that we had discussed last week. Now there was a ruler, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, also known as Nico, aka Nico, a ruler of the Jews. The man came to Jesus by night. Remember, Jesus meets us where we're at, right? Jesus isn't waiting for us to get perfect and said, okay, now we can have a conversation. Jesus says, I want to have a conversation with you now, wherever you are at. And that doesn't even just mean before we come to know Jesus, but that's each and every day, right? Because we know we make mistakes day in and day out. We sin, we mess up, and that does not mean that that relationship or that connection with Christ is broken. That just means we can bring that to Him, and we always have that open relationship, that open conversation with Christ our Lord. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. So Nico was kind of right, you know, the power of God was Jesus, but he calls him rabbi, he says, you come from God, he says, the power of God's with you, so he's not, doesn't really understand yet that Jesus is God, right? He's getting there, but he's not there yet. He knows something's going on, and that's cool. You know, that's the thing, a lot of times you know, okay, there's something going on with this God thing. You know, I know that's how a lot of people, they start out. They just know that there's something different. Not sure what it is yet, but there's something different. And so he explored. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, which means, listen up, I'm going to tell you something important. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? It's kind of a, I don't even know why you would say that. It's almost like, of course, you know, he's asking a question he knows the answer to, right? He knows this isn't how things work. But, you know, Jesus is cool. So Jesus says, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, again, hey, listen up, I'm about to say something important. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit, right? We read about in Ezekiel how God is cleansing us. God is baptizing us, right, with that cleansing water. And he's putting his Spirit in us, right? That's what it reads in Ezekiel was going to happen. Nico said to him, how can these things be? And this is where Jesus is like, okay, wait a minute, come on. Are you the teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Listen up, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, then how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So, I mean, Nico asked the question, how can these things be? And Jesus is like, you're a teacher of Israel, and you don't know what's going on? Now, maybe I can understand these guys, the fishermen, right? These guys are hanging out with me. Maybe they don't know, but you're a teacher of Israel, and you don't know what the Old Testament says about who Jesus is and what his coming on earth was going to be and what it was going to mean. And, I mean, you know, I kind of thought about this, and I was like, it's almost as if Nico was missing the forest for the trees. What that means, I guess maybe I should explain, you know. You don't see the big picture, right? We can miss that sometimes. I know I do at work, okay? I get focused on the little things, right? I get focused on just this task I have to do or this thing I have to do and will it look like this and how does that going to go and blah, 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 and what does this mean? And if I send this email in a certain way, is everyone going to get upset about it? Stuff like that, you know? And I'm missing the big picture, the main mission, whatever it is that I'm involved with. I'm missing what's really important. And it's as if Nico was missing the big picture. He had missed what the overall thing, the main point, the critical attribute, the big deal about Jesus, the big deal about the Bible, the big deal about what all the writings were pointing to. And he was thinking about, well, what about this? What about this? And what about this? And how could this be? And you know, maybe overanalyzing things a bit and really getting things skewed. And so to explain this kind of in a deeper level, the Jewish leaders of the day, and a lot of times you see the word Jews in the Bible is talking about the Jewish leaders. They were concerned with some crazy stuff. Okay, and it's so funny because it's so outside of our culture and how we see things. Because, I mean, we're not a culture that's centered on, like, you know, religious things. And what I mean is, like, the symbolism of things and how this means something else. We're very relaxed, especially in Southern California, right? We're very casual, you know? I mean, hopefully I'm not offending anyone when I say this, because I mean, if you've seen me dressed up for church, I'm the same way. I show up just however I want to that day. I'll wear a t-shirt. I'll wear clothes that maybe I have not laundered. There's no one can prove that, but you know, because to me, it doesn't matter. You know, God wants us here. But, you know, so it doesn't really, you know, that's not an important thing, in my opinion. You know, but there's some parts in the world, some part in our churches, you know, in our community and churches in our country and parts of this world that if you did that, they'd be like, what is wrong with you? You should be suited and booted, right? Tie, clean, hair slick. Well, not me, but, you know, looking really sharp. Let's just leave it at that. You know, we have a culture, though, that's very relaxed, you know, and it doesn't. And so some of this stuff that I'm going to talk about is just very foreign to us. So the Jews were very concerned with, like, the precise number of words that were in Scripture and the shape of the letters. That was a big deal. Okay, so they're studying this stuff. They know the exact number. The scribes would know the exact number of words and could tell you things that just would blow your mind. Like, how would they know that? Why would they even care about that? And the shape of the letters. Now, I will say this as I go through this list. I mean, I think I can understand the motivation of it, the reverence, the trying to put the word of the Lord on a certain, you know, of a level of importance. But I mean, we can see that it gets, like, way skewed. They were concerned with phylactery and like the width of the fringe of their garments. So what they would do is they would wear these leather boxes like on their wrists and on their foreheads and stuff, and it would have like scripture on it. And the bigger the box, the holier they were somehow. I don't know how that works. But this was like a big deal, and they would spend so much time consumed with this and consumed with how, you know, long that their the fringe of their garments were, right? And to make sure it was just the right width or just the right length. The tithing of the herbs, okay, and even making sure that, you know, your basil in your garden, you're giving the 10% of that, you're tithing that, or the mint, you know, down to the very specific level. Oh, we want to make sure that, now, me, you know, I've got a little mint plant in my backyard that just sprouted up. You know, it just grew out of, I don't know how it got there. It just grew. I haven't brought 10% of that mint to New Hope and given it away. So maybe I'm off, but I'll just confess that right now. I've not done that. So if anyone wants some mint, let me know. I'll put it in the black box back there. But you know, and then the other side, like I said, is Jesus said, you know, do those things, right? He didn't say that's just totally ridiculous. You know, I mean, when he was reprimanding the Pharisees, he said, do this too. The washing of the hands, very concerned with hand washing, right? And before you would eat, which is probably a good idea. But, you know, it wasn't written in the Torah. Okay, it was a oral tradition. And, you know, it was a sign of, like, being pure. And these things. Well, you know, there's good there, but this is what they were concerned with. And they were so concerned with these things that they missed the bigger point. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and show this graphic just because it's funny at this point, you know, because it's not pertinent to what we're going to talk about. I'm just going to tell you that your phone is really listening to you, okay? And I know everyone kind of knows this, and I'll tell the story. Because hopefully I'll have the video up at some point just so we can kind of review and reminisce or whatever. But so you know the Jess Ranch shopping center?
Yes.
I don't know what it is. I always get lost there. Like, I always turn into the wrong driveway, and I think, okay, I'm trying to go to Jersey Mike's, and I end up at Red Robin or whatever, and I don't know why it's so confusing to me. You think, Gary, you live right there. You've been going here for years. Get it right. So I'm driving. So that's what I did. I drove in the wrong one, and I'm all frustrated. I'm driving around, and I see this store, and it's the title, the name of the store is Torrid. And I said, what's that? I mean, it sounds like a cool place, Torrid. You know, like, yeah, that's Torrid. Yeah, that sounds cool. What is that place? Okay, and then I don't know if someone explained it to me. It's like a women clothing store or something. But then, what happened, like, a couple days later? I'm on my phone. What do I see? An ad for Torrid. And then I just threw it away. Ah! And it, like, caught on fire. This is so terrible. But yeah, I mean, it's your phone's listening to you. So what happened this week? And, you know, I shouldn't say the phone is, you know, God's listening. And I encountered a video with a Canadian apologist, Wes Huff, and he kind of puts himself out there a lot. Like, he was on Joe Rogan, he was on Jordan Peterson, like a lot of big, you know, guys that you probably heard of, and he's been on these shows, and you know, his ministry is really sharing the gospel with people that probably wouldn't hear it otherwise. And a cool guy, and he just has a great video about like not getting stuck in some of the details, but really remembering the main thing. So we'll talk about that at another date. But when we really talk, and the thing is I even almost hesitate saying this to this bunch, because I feel like New Hope's really good at this. But when it gets down to it, why do people give their life to Christ? It's because God loves them, right? It's most people aren't convinced about, you know, you don't convince them through arguments, right? And through logical thinking. Go ahead and advance to the next slide, please. Through logical thinking and through, like, okay, so I'm gonna, you know, reason with this person. Now, the part of that, though, is we're supposed to love the Lord our God with our minds, right? We're supposed to be able to speak to why these things are the way they are. That's super important, you know? We're not, as Christians, we're supposed to know our Bibles and what they mean and what they say and how that, you know, is reality. You know, but people come to the Lord because they recognize that God loves them and they recognize Christ's sacrifice for them. So it's like a different thing. And the thing is this church, I feel like, is good at demonstrating God's love. It's, you know, we think about the things that we do as a church. We've got, one of them's Love's Works. It's right in the name. Okay, and we've got Project Hope, and we've got Hope in the Park, and we got Celebrate Recovery, and we've got our monthly food distribution. I mean, we are doing a lot of things as a church to try and show people that God loves them. Because, I mean, why would we be out there? Let's talk about food distribution. Why would we be out there on the last Saturday of the month and giving people food and we want, like, literally zero in return? You know, there is nothing we're getting out of that. I mean, even the cynic would say, oh, well, I'm going to have to, they're going to, like, make me pray for them. And honestly, sometimes we do. And that's okay, because sometimes you're just like, dude, let's pray, you know? But it's not like we're wanting anything in return. It's just, here you go. The Lord Jesus loves you. We hope that you recognize you need a lot more than this food, because that's really what it is, right? Is it's meeting a need, undeniably so, but we all need much more than, you know, a day's worth of groceries. And so that's what we hope we're communicating. And I see this, and that's like what kind of drives us, I feel, is God's love, and we know that that's what we want to communicate to folks. So, but it's still a good message to, I just hope you're encouraged, really. I hope you're encouraged to continue to do that, because it means so much to people. And especially something like this, sorry, I'm kind of going off, but, you know, there's kids that will show up, you know, on a Saturday, and they might not have ever been in a church, and they might not go to church. And when I say go to, I'm relationship with God, right? That's to give their lives over to Christ, to recognize they need Jesus when I say church. But they just know that I remember that there was a church that showed love to my family, you know? And that can be that seed that we plant that germinates later, right? That grows into something else. And who cares if it's with us or not? If they go to another church down, you know, 10 years from now, and they just, and that was when we had a part in that, praise the Lord, you know? I mean, that's great. Because it's not about us, right? It's about serving God's kingdom. And there's a lot of people on that team. And so sometimes you just, you know, pass the ball to the running back, and he takes it, you know, and you got guys blocking, making a hole, and, you know, he goes through and scores a touchdown. But all we did was just pass the ball, you know. So, I don't know. Just be encouraged to still, and I know there's, you know, sometimes, you know, we're giving food away, and you might think, am I doing the right thing? But you are. We're being obedient first and foremost, and it does impact lives. And people remember that stuff. So just continue to do the good work that you do. So anyway, so let's go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So, I mean, this is just God, what Jesus did. What God did for us is, like, crazy, okay? It's really remarkable. So I always think of this as, like, ants. And I promise, Sam, this isn't about you, okay? Sam, I don't know if you still do, but Sam just had a fascination with ants and how they work.
Like 2 weeks ago, but not
right. Like 2 weeks ago. But, I mean, when you think about it, imagine that there were these ants, right? And you loved these ants. You just loved them. But the problem was the ants rebelled, you know, against you. They were eating all your picnic food. They were getting in your house. They were just, it was a rebellion, right? They just hated you. And they just took advantage of you. And so when these ants rebelled, they deserved to die, right? You had every right to get out the spray or get out the bait. That bait works good, by the way. You got to use the bait. It's way better. And kill these ants because they deserved it. They rebelled against you. But instead, you know what you did? You gave your child to them, and they killed your child. And somehow this death of this child, and they killed your kid, prevents the ants from having to die. And so now the analogy sort of breaks down because we're not ants, okay? We're God's workmanship in Jesus Christ. He made us. And he made us originally with his plan, and then we went away from that plan, right? And Christ remade us to where that plan works again, right? Christ fixes it. So it's different than that. However, when you think about how far separated we are from God and his sovereignty and how powerful he is, it's greater than us to an ant, right? Because, I mean, honestly, what do we do? What can we do against God? God is all powerful. There's nothing we can do. We can't make God's life miserable. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, there is, the Bible does talk about God, like, you know, we kind of grieve God, you know, but we can't, like, inconvenience God, okay? Ants can inconvenience us. They do all the time, right? They get in your house and they make a mess or whatever. They eat your stuff. We can't. So what I'm saying is, it's like the chasm between us and God is greater than us and ants. And so with that being said, God could have just went down and stepped on us, right? God did not send his son into the world to condemn it. I mean, God could have brought the truth. But instead, while we were sinners, he died for us. So God loved a world that denied and rebelled against him. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. So he loves the world, and this world rebelled against him. And we were sinners, and Christ died for us. So he gave his son. That whoever believes, and so this was drastically different than what the Jews were thinking, right? It's whoever believes. Not just, you know, salvation is like through like obeying a law, or maybe even worse, even just because of who's your dad, the lineage that you are a part of. And maybe you say, well, that doesn't really apply to us today. Well, it kind of does, right? I mean, sometimes we get in this trap where we come from a family maybe that maybe, you know, they didn't honor God. Maybe our family has a rough background. Our parents, our grandparents, our great-granddaddy, right? People that they were, you know, you're in this line of people that didn't care about the things of the Lord. But that doesn't matter because it's you. And Jesus came for whoever. And so, you know, salvation, the Jews thought salvation was because of who they were obeying laws and that they were part of the nation of Israel. And that's totally different. The other thing is that the Jews thought they wanted justice. You don't want God's justice, you know. We all think, oh, yeah, we're good. You know, I didn't kill anyone on the way to work today, so I'm all right. You know, I'm doing okay. I didn't do any big sins today. That doesn't matter. We all need God. And when the Jews, like I said, they thought they wanted justice. They thought they wanted God to come down and bring justice. And that would have not gone well. They wanted the Messiah to come down, you know, and defeat the enemies of the Jews, especially the Romans at that time. And they were thinking that the Messiah was going to come and restore the nation of Israel to like the days of David and Solomon. And then, you know, it's funny because when you think about it, were the days of David and Solomon really that great? I mean, when you think about, I mean, Solomon, the Bible talks about how Solomon was hard on his people, right? There was like a lot of like hard labor that was required to do the things that the kingdom of Israel under the reign of Solomon did. So it wasn't all that great, you know? And David, I mean, David is a man after God's own heart, but I mean, David did some seriously bad stuff. So it's like they had this ideal of what they wanted. They wanted this, and God has something so much better than a kingdom of Solomon and a kingdom of David, an imperfect kingdom that its values were skewed. God's kingdom is bigger than that. God's kingdom is so much better than that. But yeah, I mean, God could have came down and brought the truth. He could have said, okay, we're going to wipe the slate clean. But he didn't, right? He gave us a chance. And I mean, that's where Jesus talks to, and this is part of that conversation that Jesus is having with Nico, and this is where he goes. For God so loved the world. That was like his talking point at the end, right? That was like when he was wrapping it up. Hey, listen, this is what I really want to tell you about. God loves you. And like I said, New Hope is good at this. So, we're wrapping it up. Let me just tell you, and I got to tell myself this too, I think probably a lot of folks, don't be concerned that you get everything right when you're talking to someone about Jesus Christ. Don't be concerned that you've got all your T's crossed and your I's dotted, your D's dotted. You know, because people don't really care about that too much anyway. People want authenticity. People want to know that you care about them. And you truly do, you know. It's not like you care about them just to get them to church. You just like, you care about someone. That's what people, that's that connection that people want. And like, I mean, this has been the theme. And it's funny because I saw it on I saw it on your shirt this morning.
Nope.
I mean, come and see. You know? Let's don't make it too hard. Right? That's what Jesus said. Just come and see what's happening. You know? If there's a coworker and you're like concerned about, you know, telling them to come to church. You don't know how they're going to react. You don't know if you say the right thing. You don't know what they're going to say. Just say, well, come check it out. If there's a family member, you know, And I'm going to apply this to me because I have family members that they're not going to come to church, you know, for physical reasons, mental reasons, like, you know, proximity stuff. But just show them what the love of God is all about. I mean, you could browbeat someone to get them to go to church, but that doesn't work really well, you know. You catch more flies with honey than with vinegar? My boss always laughs at me. He says, I don't know. He says, you've got all these Kentuckyisms. I thought those were just well known, so I don't know if it's... I got to ask him about that one day. But come and see. Just tell people about God. Show the love of Christ. Let's talk about the forest and not the trees. And as we learn more, because we do, we want to learn more about God. That's our way we worship, is to know him better and to learn about him more. You know, invite people to do that with you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you did not come to condemn the world. You know, and me, it's one thing, but thank you that you, Jesus, gave your life for my wife and my children, the ones that I love. It's just amazing. Thank you that, Lord, you gave us the Holy Spirit to be our counselor. Help us to be led by the Holy Spirit, God, when we have our encounters. Lord, may we always be motivated by love for one another. Help us to see the world as you see the world, as a people that desperately need you, a people that are hurting, that are lost, even when maybe they have it together on the outside, God, but they don't on the inside. And help us to see that inside and to really have a desire for everyone to come to know you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. We thank you for this time together, and we want to bless your holy name. Mm-hmm. Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. And